everyone, welcome back to Remote Insights, Nexon's very first podcast, where we explore all about remote recruiting in the tech industry. This is Alison Viss, I'll be your host for this episode, and today we'll be deep diving into happiness. We'll be taking a close look at what it means to have a happiness department on your company and how happiness will help you reduce attrition and maximize your team members' happiness and overall world well-being. So in general terms, we'll be learning the what, why, and how of the happiness team. Today, I'm joined by Martina Lanfranconi, our happiness manager here at Nexon. First of all, Martu, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm very excited about having this chat with you. How are you doing on this fine day?
Hey, Ellie, thank you for inviting me. I'm super excited as well, and I'm doing fine. Excited to start this podcast.
Yeah, so let's jump straight into it. First of all, I'd like our listeners to get to know you a little better. So what do you do at Nexon? Like, what does it mean to be a happiness manager?
Well, Nexon really cares about the happiness of its people, you know, and that's basically what I do, making our people to feel happy working here. We do have a lot of opportunities to connect between each other, to foster and maintain relationships between all the team. We do have a lot of activities, gatherings, offsites, also in person, right? And as well as the benefits we do offer, the prizes and gifts for recognition, the things related to career development, career growth. So in general lines, we are talking about our team's happiness and to make sure we provide them with a healthy, fun, and relaxed work environment.
So what are your main responsibilities to develop this happiness team and to promote this all around happiness and worker satisfaction?
Well, as I mentioned before, we are constantly looking for different ways to foster interpersonal relationships within the team. We do have our after offices, our offsites, our team buildings to connect as humans, not just as co-workers, you know. We also organize these non-virtual meetups as well to share some drinks, food, and quality time together from time to time. The celebration of achievements and the recognition of them is also important. So thinking and managing gifts and talking with suppliers, it's also part of our daily basis. We also create and maintain an effective and attractive and competitive benefits plan in order to be on top with this, you know, and align it to our team's specific needs and preferences. And as I mentioned, we also take care about our people, career path, career progression, motivations, frustrations. We are always there following up on their careers and making sure they are doing great. And if they are not, also to be there to support and listen to our team, which is very important. So we are also in constantly contact and communication with our management team, you know, to be sure what's going on the team and be there in case we need to find any solutions together.
So before we dive deep into what all of this means and what all of these responsibilities, you know, carry, how did you get to this position? Like, what does someone need to study or what areas do you need to start working to build up to, you know, becoming a happiness specialist?
Well, I think it's very important to having the people and culture center approach. You know, it will be very nice to have some experience working on the organizational development departments or people experience or even in HR, you know. That will be great because it gives you some insights and experience on how to manage and handle a team, how to make them happy and be sure to embrace this challenge of being a happiness specialist or a happiness manager.
Oh yeah, we will definitely be talking a little bit more about like the the similarities and the differences between HR. It's interesting that you mentioned that. So I know that happiness, you know, as a department is sort of a pioneer department at companies, like an emerging ideology that is particularly becoming popular among startups and the tech industry. So of course, the main idea of a happiness team, as you mentioned, is to improve the team members' effectiveness and job satisfaction. So what exactly is a happiness team?
That's a complex question. I will try to do my best, but I like to say that the happiness of your people is built and supported by pillars, you know, like a construction. So if I have to say which these pillars are, I would say purpose, recognition, engagement, career development, and transparency. Last but not least, transparency. So if you follow these pillars, if you work towards these, you will surely have a happy team. And it's very important to have this clear, you know, because sometimes what happens, what to me and to everyone, I mean, is that you're like super immersed in your daily basis, working in your operational task. And sometimes you need to, you know, stop and go back to your pillars, to your basis. And then you realize if you are working towards this or not. That's a very good practice. And I think those are a must to have a happy team.
I can definitely relate to the going back to your pillars, mm-hmm. And, you know, maintaining focus on them. You know, in marketing, it's like, it is a little bit like that because, you know, you're immersed in your day-to-day activities and then you have to remind yourself that you have to go back to your mission, your purpose, your values and everything to, you know, maintain the right path.
Definitely, yeah.
And not lose focus on your goals and the things that you want to achieve, obviously.
Definitely.
So now that we've established what a happiness team is, I'd love to know, like, what differentiates it from HR, basically?
Because people are not resources, you know, and that's the main difference, you know, treating people as human beings, not as resources. When you change this mindset, then everything changes. All the initiatives you work on and you propose are focused on making a meaningful impact on your team, on your people's lives. And that's, I think, the main difference.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's really powerful, yeah. So in what ways is it similar to HR? Because I know that it does share a few, you know, touch points. So what are those?
Well, besides giving our team members a positive work environment where they can be themselves, it's very necessary also to have a structure, policies, processes, and also agreed behaviors in your culture, you know? So I think that's the main similarity with HR when it comes to building these processes, these policies, and defining these best practices or behaviors within the team. That's the, I think, the main similarity. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can definitely see that. So had you personally been on a happiness team before joining Nexton? Because I know, well, you're our happiness manager, so the title is self-descriptive, like you're the manager of the team. So had you been in one before joining Nexton?
Actually, no. I mean, I've heard about the happiness manager role for the first time when I found out this open position at Nexton. And it was like, wow, what is this role? Which are the responsibilities? You know, I was like, yeah, amazed. And then I found out that the responsibilities were kind of the same from what I had in my previous job. My previous role was organizational development analyst. So it was kind of the same, but with, you know, those magical touch on Nexton behalf and, you know, and with the Nexton essence in every single responsibility. But it was the first time, yeah. When I found out this open position at Nexton, I started researching about the role and if it was common or not. And it turned out that, yes, it's it's like a trend. It seems that all the companies or startups are trying to migrate from this concept of human resources to this concept of happiness, you know, taking this people and culture centered approach, which is great. And I wish everyone can have a happiness manager or a specialist in their teams.
Honestly, nowadays, HR seems to me, from this perspective of someone in a company that has happiness, HR seems so last century, as you mentioned, like treating humans as resources and not as humans. And it's very interesting that you mentioned the fact that the happiness team, like it is becoming a trend, especially among the companies in the tech industry and on remote companies as well. So for our listeners out there, Martu here created the happiness team at Nexton. She built it from the ground up herself and continues to do so, not only as our entire team grows, but as her own happiness team grows as well. So what, in your experience, is the most challenging part of creating a happiness team?
Actually, the remote work, you know, because working remotely is great. It's fantastic. It has a lot of advantages, which, by the way, I'm being benefit of. I mean, I'm digital nomad. I'm traveling all over the world thanks to working at a startup as Nexton, which gives me the opportunity to do so. I'm super proud to be part of it. And I used to tell this with proud as well to all my friends and ex-colleagues and people who I meet. But I must confess that the remote work is the most challenging part of building a happiness team. Because, you know, you can do a lot of activities, a lot of games and team building activities in a virtual way. But it's necessary and super enriching to gather together in person from time to time, you know, because the level of connection and the energy you can, you know, exchange between you and your teammates is different. We experienced that last year when we did our company retreat, our company offsite in Bariloche, Argentina, with the whole team. It was amazing. You know, the level of connection was super high and deep as well. So it was like a breaking point in our history, you know, at least in terms of, yeah, of culture. We met each other, we got to know each other in a deeply way, and it was great. So I would say that the distance, the geographical distance, and having a full remote team distributed in all over the world, because it's not only Latin America, we do also have some team members in the States or in Europe, because they are also traveling. Yeah, that's the most challenging part. It's not impossible. I mean, we are doing it. And we realized we were doing it great when we got each other for the first time in the same place. And we all felt that we knew each other from, you know, from the life and from the childhood. It was crazy, but it was super real. And everything flowed in a very natural and spontaneous way. And that's when we realized that we were doing a great job. But anyway, it's very and super necessary to have these kind of, you know, gatherings to meet each other in person, in real time, besides the screen, you know?
Absolutely. Of course. I know that that offsite changed me and the way that I interact on the day-to-day basis with my coworkers as well. I 100% agree, and you did. I can confirm that you did an amazing job. You mentioned that the most challenging part of creating this team from the ground up is the fact that we are remote, and you know, all of our clients and partners out there are remote as well. So I'm sure that they face the same challenges themselves. And, you know, while some on-site companies are integrating happiness teams, it's most typically seen in remote environments like ours. And obviously, I imagine that the strategies and challenges for on-site versus remote or even hybrid companies vary a lot. But, you know, with remote work being the new normal since the pandemic, every day more and more companies become fully remote. So how do you make a team, in our case, the Nexton team, feel committed while also being a remote company?
Well, we talk about our pillars, you know, we talked about purpose, engagement, recognition, career development and growth, and transparency. Those are very important. But when it comes to have a commit team, it's very important to have a purpose and to be super clear on what we are doing and why we are doing what we are doing, you know? It seems to be a very simply what I'm saying, but sometimes if you don't have that purpose, if you don't understand why you're doing what you're doing or how you contribute to that company purpose, you won't have that motivation and commitment to what you do. I mean, here at Nexton, we are all conscious that we want to have a meaningful impact on people's lives. You know, we want to connect the best talent to the best opportunities in the world. So we know that. So everyone work towards that, you know? Everyone knows every single day when they wake up, when they turn on their computers and start working, why they are doing what they are doing. And the main goal is changing lives. So we are all, you know, going to the same way and trying to make our best to reach out this purpose. And we're always focused on that. So I think that it doesn't matter where you are. At least you are super conscious of the purpose of your work. At least that you are super aware of the reason why you are doing what you are doing. Even though if you are not a full remote team, you need to have a purpose. You need to understand what you are doing and why you are doing what you are doing.
That's definitely a key to keep everyone in your whole team, not just obviously happiness, but each team, each department, not only committed, but also, you know, on the same page to know where we are going together. What are we creating together? So obviously when you say happiness, there's redundantly a component of happiness to it. How do you as a happiness manager make all of our team members here at Nexton happy? Like, what are the most prominent initiatives that you have in place to boost this, this flourishing environment and maximizing happiness?
So when it comes to define those initiatives and activities, we always try to go back to our pillars and start thinking towards the five pillars I mentioned before. So for purpose, for example, we try to make a super deep onboarding experience where we can tell the new team members, the new next owners, what we do, who we are, why we do what we do. So it's very important, the onboarding process. We host it from end to end, to make sure everyone is on the same page on this. And it's really important, you know, it's like accompanying your new team members in their first steps, you know, in understanding the business, understanding the areas, understanding how everything works, you know? So besides the purpose, when it comes to engagement, for example, we are always looking for new opportunities to connect between each other. We are hosting virtual events and organizing non-virtual events in the locations we do have team members. So it's very important to us to foster, you know, and keep all these relationships within the team. We are looking for new ways and creative ways, you know, because it's not easy to keep it, and creative ways, you know, because it's not easy to keep the high call for virtual events if you have been working the whole week, super intense, in front of the screen. It's not easy. So engagement is also like a challenge, you know? And when it comes to recognition, we are always working alongside with manager, making sure they are recognizing the achievements and milestones of their team members, not only the professional ones, but also the personal ones. You know, we've been talking about considering people as humans, not as resources. So we try to be there, you know, every time we do have a new team member, you know, like being a mother or father or variating from their careers or I don't know, whatever that happens in their personal lives, we try always to be there, to be present, to just to tell them next time is here with you. We want to accompany you in these special moments as well. And also for the work done, you know, the recognition of achievements is very important, not only in a one-on-one with your manager, but also sometimes you need that public recognition with the rest of the team so that everyone gets to know that you are doing a great job. So I talk about this purpose, engagement, recognition, career development, and growth is the next one. You know, very important for your team members' motivation. And everyone needs to know where they are. And the managers in the company as well needs to know where do you want to be, you know, and give you all the tools and resources you need. So we talk about this purpose, engagement, recognition activities, but then it's very important to work on career development and growth. For your team members, it's very, very important to know where they are and to identify where they would like to be, you know, and we have to give all the tools and resources to them to be on the level of their career path they want to be. So designing this career path and designing this progression framework is also part of our initiative. We are currently working alongside managers and doing so to provide all our team members a clear career path and a clear criteria on what we expect and what we need from them to, you know, to reach out the next level of the of their career paths. Last but not least, transparency. This is very important, you know. You need to have transparency within the team, within the company. Fortunately, both Agus and Diego, our co-founders, are super transparent and they used to share with the whole team metrics, news, numbers on how the business is doing, which is great because it's, you know, it's an opportunity for everyone to be on the same page on what's going on Nexton and on the market and where we are and where we want to be, you know. So it's a part of the happiness team responsibilities to make sure we do have as a company these spaces, you know, for transparency. It's part of the happiness team responsibility to make sure both our co-founders and our managers and leads are being transparent with the team members. So we want to always keep this transparency. We want to always have and keep an honest communication, not only from managers or co-founders with the team, but also and most importantly within the team. You know, all the areas and levels within the company. It's very important for everyone to be honest, to be clear, to be transparent.
Well, that's super insightful, Martu. Definitely my personal key takeaways from that are, you know, being there for the person, for the team member, for each one of them through different stages of life, as you mentioned, both career-wise and personal, like in their personal lives as well. And the transparency that you mentioned. I think those two components are definitely necessary to keep a team happy and working at its best. So you know that companies in the US are opening up to hiring and incorporating team members from abroad in a remote fashion, particularly from Latin America. And I know that many teams or team members might not have experience yet working with multicultural, multinational teams. So how do you get people to feel comfortable with each other while being from different countries, cultures, and even time zones?
I think that having people from different countries and different cultures and with their own history is great. Actually, it's enriching, you know. I love having a multicultural team. But Anyway, you need to provide them with a positive work environment. And when I say positive, I'm not talking about having a fun, relaxed, and healthy work environment only. I'm also talking about providing a work environment where they can be who they really are, where people can be themselves. And this is very important, you know, and the basis of this is the respect. You need to be respectful with all your people, you know, it doesn't matter who they are, where they live, or whatever. And we realized this in the offsites we did in Bariloche, Argentina this year. We noticed that our people were just them, you know, in a friendly way, and there were no judgments, and everyone connect between each other in a very natural and spontaneous way. And we were amazed about that because, you know, we did have some concerns about the cultural differences and how this would impact on the, you know, on sharing a house in 5 nights with people that you don't even know, you know, because for the most of the team, this was the first time we got together and we met together. So we were a little bit concerned about the cultural differences between each other. But then once there, we realized that it was the opposite, you know, that having people from all over Latin America was great. And everyone, you know, like share with each other. Actually, we organized an international meal one day of the offsite, and where everyone wrote something from their own countries, you know, something they used to drink or they used to eat, and they share with the rest of the team. And it was super enriching because that's another way and a powerful way to get to know your teammates. So I think that having people from all over the world or from all over Latin America or even from all over your country is great, you know, because every single person has their own story and their own culture.
I agree that it's not only super enriching in terms of like company-wise, like having fresh and different perspectives and points of view, but also personally, like we were mentioning earlier, as human beings mm-hmm. that we are. So that's super amazing. I definitely think that the international meal was an amazing icebreaker. And speaking of icebreakers, what do you think is the best technique to break the ice in, you know, a remote work environment?
We used to play, for example, Two Truths and a Lie, which is great because everyone has to say three statements of themselves, and two are true and one is a lie. And it's very funny because sometimes you imagine something from the new team member or the rest of the team, and then it turns out that it was not real, you know, and you discover fun facts and you discover a little bit more about that person. So I love icebreakers. I love questions, slogans, or games to get to know more about each other, or talking about our personalities, or what we do when no one is watching, you know, what song we used to sing in the shower, and that kind of slogans, you know.
I feel like they're also super engaging because you're constantly trying to figure out who the person in front of you is. And I don't know, it's just super fun and enriching. Yeah. And I feel like it helps team members connect in a deeper level and get to know each other way more than, as I mentioned, like the typical questions of who you are, where you studied, and etc. So wrapping up a little bit, I'd love to know, you know, what advice would you give to other companies that are about to integrate or that are thinking about integrating a happiness department to their company? You know, you've built this happiness team from the ground up yourself. So I'm sure that you have a lot of experience to share in regards to creating the department like from scratch?
That's a very interesting question. I would say that building an action plan is very important, whether for the next 3 months, 6 months, or the year, the next year. But it's a key to have a north, you know, to have a horizon and to better understand what to do first and what to do then. Because it's obvious that when you start this, when you start having a happiness team or building this area, you will find a lot of improvement opportunities. So you need to work on this action plan and then work towards on that, you know. And to build it, it's very important to have a diagnostic of the company. So you need to talk with the executive team, you need to talk with the co-founders and to get to know their perspective on how the things are doing. But you also need to talk with the team and better understand what their needs and concerns currently are, how they have been feeling in the past month or years. So gathering feedback both from the executive team and the company as well, yeah, and from the team is very important to build this action plan. So in my case, I started in that way. I sat down with Diego, Agus, and Luki. I wrote down everything they mentioned me. And then I did the same with the team. You know, it wasn't super difficult in my case because the team was like made of 30 persons or so. So in my case, I took the time to meet one by one and listen to them. And this is very important, not only for building this action plan I was mentioning before, but also, and most importantly, Ali, to introduce yourself. Because starting that point, that happiness manager or happiness specialist or whatever, going to be the go-to person for the team. So you need to build this relationship with one by one based on trust, you know. This is very important. So summarizing, yeah, that's the way I think, or that's how I did it, and it really worked to me. So I would say that building this action plan based on the company and executive team feedback and also in the team members' feedback, and then you will be able to put together this plan and start working on it with prioritizations, you know, with a lot of planning, because starting from scratch is not easy at all, especially when it comes to, you know, building a company culture in a full remote work, in a full remote team. And starting from scratch is not easy at all, I must confess, especially when it comes to a full remote team. But it's just about, you know, putting together this plan, prioritize the actions, and start working on it. And then you will see how everything starts to flow, you know? You will see how things start to get better and better and better. And then you realize that you're organizing an offsite, for example, with the whole company where everyone is traveling from all over Latin America to meet each other. And then you realize that the energy is great. So that's the way I did it. And at that moment, I realized we were doing a great job.
A great answer with amazing key pointers to any company out there that might be looking to integrate a happiness team of their own, which I definitely do recommend. You know, we were talking earlier, we mentioned a lot the offsite that we had this year that you created for all of us, because it really was an experience that you created for all of us. I started to, you know, think of a lot of questions that that, you know, came up when you mentioned everything pertaining to the offsite. So I would love to invite you for another episode in which we can dive deep into what it means to do an offsite, how you did it, how you accomplished it, how you brought everyone from Spain and the US to anywhere in LATAM to the same place.
It might be super helpful and useful for those companies that are looking for new opportunities to connect with the rest of the team and that are analyzing these company offsites and retreats. So yeah, please count on me.
Absolutely. Let's do it. So thank you so much, Martu, for sharing your valuable insights with us today. It was a pleasure talking with you and learning about the ins and outs of happiness. Thanks everyone out there for joining us and listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. So for the next few episodes, we're actually bringing, you know, founders, CEOs, CTOs, VPs, more industry tech experts, and Martu once again, giving us knowledge and insights that you probably can't get anywhere else. So be sure not to miss it. You know, whether you're a company looking for highly skilled professionals to join your teams, or whether you're a senior tech professional looking to land a long-term opportunity at a US company, visit nextonlabs.com to see how we can help you achieve that.